A very warm welcome to you as we gather together for our worship this morning. We begin our worship as we sing together that well-known song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. So we turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. No matter where we are, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, that Lord, you are present with us. In this moment of worship, we pray, Lord, that we would tangibly feel your presence with us wherever we might be. We would pray, Lord, that as we worship in this moment, we would keep our eyes focused on you, that you, Lord, as you touch our hearts and touch our lives, would challenge us through the words that are read from Scripture, We would pray, Lord, that as we respond to that, everything we do would be in response and in worship of you. So, Lord, it is our prayer that as we pay attention in this moment, you would be the one who is honored, who's blessed, who's praised, who's glorified. Be blessed as we worship together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our Bible reading for today comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Jesus walks on the water. Then Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people away. After sending the people away, he went up a hill by himself to pray. When evening came, Jesus was there alone, and by this time the boat was far out in the lake, tossed about by the waves because the wind was blowing against it. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to the disciples, walking on the water. When they saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and screamed with fear. Jesus spoke to them at once. "Courage," he said. "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then Peter spoke up. "Lord, if it is really you, order me to come out on the water to you." "Come," answered Jesus. So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water to Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he was afraid and started to sink down in the water. "Save me, Lord," he cried. At once Jesus reached out and grabbed hold of him and said, "What little faith you have, why did you doubt?" They both got into the boat and the wind died down. Then the disciples in the boat worshipped Jesus. "Truly, you are the Son of God," they exclaimed. May God bless his reading to us. Amen.
I really enjoy action movies. Maybe it's a guy thing, but movies like Top Gun, Mission Impossible, and there's a new one that's coming out this year, really are just things that I enjoy watching. I find it great entertainment. But for me, in an action movie, whether it be the stunts or the cameras or whatever it might be, there's this real sense of somehow the impossible gets done. In some way, you see things that maybe you know aren't really possible, but somehow the actors or the stunt or the story seems to make the impossible possible. It was during World War II when the Marines had a slogan that they used to say, and they said, "If it is difficult, it would take a day or two. If it was impossible, it would take just a little longer." We often find ourselves stuck in impossible situations. The year ahead, I think, probably predicts more threats than treats. We have no doubt that there will be continued load shedding. We have no doubt there will be continued violence. There will be continued war. There will be continued corruption. We all face uncertainties with what the future might hold. Situations that we might feel or might seem to be impossible to solve. Sicknesses that seem impossible to cure. Burdens that feel impossible to bear. Problems that are impossible to overcome. Pasts that are impossible to forget. Weaknesses that are impossible to overcome. Habits that are impossible to break. Relationships that seem impossible to restore. Hurts that seem impossible to mend. Needs that seem impossible to meet. As we are limited to our human bodies. And being a limited human being, we have much impossibility in life. Much impossibility that surrounds us. But there is a verse in Matthew chapter 19 where Jesus is speaking to the crowd after he's teaching them, and he offers these words of hope. "This is impossible for man, but for God, nothing is impossible." And so, as we face 2023 ahead of us, if we want to accomplish something great for God, then may I make the following suggestions. Picking up from our sermon last week where we were encouraged to draw near to God, then may I offer four suggestions that as we draw near to God, we don't become afraid of our assumptions. As we draw near to God, we don't attempt in our own abilities. As we draw near to God, we don't abide in our safe abodes. As we draw near to God, we don't pay attention to our anxieties. And so firstly, as we draw near to God, we're not to be afraid of our assumptions. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, what did Scripture say in verse 26? They were terrified. "It's a ghost," they shouted, and they screamed with fear. The disciples were rowing their boat against the winds, against the waves, and it appeared as though they were making very slow progress. And when help came in the sense of Jesus walking on the water, as strange as it was, their first assumption was that this was something that was going to harm them. This was something that brought fear, not resolution. Our assumptions are so influenced by the world around us, by people around us. We need to be very careful who we listen to. The people around us have often, or psychologists have often said that we're surrounded by different people, and they have sometimes divided that into two categories. The first one would be VDPs, very despairing people. Those would be the people who tend to be negative, those who in many ways pull us away from our vision. They derail us, if you like. They pull us away from what could be, what the possibility. They always see the negative. Often those kinds of people tend to be quite discouraging and draining people. They always see impossibilities. They never see possibilities. The other category is VIPs, very inspiring people. We might call them positive thinkers. But these are the people who are there cheering us on, encouraging us in every moment, where they can see, maybe they can't see it, but they recognize we see a bigger vision and they spur us on to follow that. They prod us on. They lift us up when we feel exhausted, encouraging us to chase the vision. They always see the possibilities instead of focusing on impossibilities. Negative thinkers, they see difficulties in every opportunity. Positive thinkers see opportunities in every difficulty. Positive thinkers see the invisible. They feel the intangible, and they achieve the impossible. Secondly, as we draw near to God, we don't attempt in our own abilities. Hear the words what Peter says, "Lord, if it is really you, order me to come out to you on the water." Peter was the sea expert. He was the great fisherman. He's the guy who's achieved on the water. This, in a sense, is his home ground. He knows what he's talking about. Jesus, on the other hand, he's not the fisherman. He's the carpenter. So, in a sense, he's not in the place where he is so used to being. He's not an expert of the seas. But Peter implores the Lord and says, "If it's really you, command me to come out and walk on the water." We often look at our own credentials and evaluate or project what we can do and what we can't do. what we can accomplish and what we cannot accomplish. We often look at our skill set and say, well, either we can do it or we can't do it. And often if it's not in our skill set or doesn't tie in with our credentials or our achievements, then we think we cannot do it. We don't think we can move beyond our abilities. We don't think that we can do anything that's beyond our skill set. Yet, with God's approval, with God's presence, with God's call, we can do what God calls us to do. Lord, if it is really you, tell me, and I will come. Our skills and our abilities are the tools that God uses to accomplish his work in us, with us, through us. In a sense, we also need to be practical towards life. We can't do things that are just so weird and bizarre. Peter was a very practical person in his attitude towards life. He would often talk about things being what they were. He was quite a realist. But that didn't mean God didn't call him beyond his ability. So in being practical, we need to take a step towards making things happen. It was John Ortberg who said, if you want to walk on water, then you need to get out of the boat. That's very practical. We have to do something in order to achieve. We have to do something in order to make God's work happen. Paul reminds us of this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where he says, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We don't do it alone. We don't attempt only in our abilities. We rely on God. Our third point is that as we draw near to God, we don't abide in our safe abodes. What did Jesus say? In verse 29, he said, come, come to Peter. He said, come, answered Jesus. So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water towards Jesus. Peter could not have experienced walking on the water if he did not step overboard. Remember, the waves were high, the wind was blowing. It must have felt pretty safe in the boat as opposed to outside the boat. We love to serve God in our comfort zones, from our comfort zones. But when the days get tough, when the tide is against us, we often reassess and then we retreat in our commitment and go back to our safe zones. I'm sure that there were some disciples who were in that boat who were saying, Peter, rather you than me, but go Peter, you can do it. But they were quite happy to stay in the boat where they felt safe. Sometimes we're happy to be there, aren't we? We're happy to be in our safe zones, encouraging everybody else to do what God's called them to do, while we sit back. We attend church, we attend a shared life group, we listen to great testimonies, we hear great sermons, we participate in church events, but we never leave our comfort zones. We happily encourage others, but we never fully leave our comfort zones. If we want to do great things for God, we need to step out the boat. We need to climb overboard. Leaving our comfort zones, we will begin to discover what God can do through us. If we want to experience something great, we need to get out of our comfort zones. A wise saying that I came across this past week was, we cannot expect great things from God if we cannot attempt great things for God. Remember, it always begins with one step. A long-distance marathon begins with one step over the start line. The 10,000-kilometer journey begins with one step as we start that journey in the first kilometer. And so that brings us to our fourth point. Draw near to God and don't pay attention to your anxieties. Listen to verse 30 from our passage in Matthew. But when he noticed the strong wind and high waves, he was afraid and started to sink down in the water. Save me, Lord, he cried. Peter walked on the water, and he enjoyed the glory of that miracle for just a few moments. But the moment his eyes left Jesus, then fear came. When he saw what was happening around him and lost his focus, then he began to sink. The moment his focus was disturbed, he began to sink. You can imagine how fierce those winds must have been. Maybe how high those waves were. When Peter was outside the boat, those things began to disturb his focus. Our world, our circumstances, those around us will always be there. Don't get disturbed or distracted by the things around you. Don't let your focus be taken off Jesus. We need to keep our focus on Christ alone. Peter's experience teaches us not to be defeated by our fears. When Peter's eyes were on Jesus, he had faith. When Peter's eyes were not on Jesus, he had fear. His faith was still there, but fear overwhelmed him. We hide our fears behind our high walls, our pricey houses, our otherworldly securities. Fear is one of Satan's greatest weapons. There's a scripture that says he prowls around like a roaring lion, not to devour us, but to scare us. We live in a world of fears. But there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. The light is Jesus. He is the light of the world. We need to focus our attention on him and him alone. As we face the year that lies ahead, alone in our own strength, it's an impossible mission. But if we face it with Christ, all things are possible. Even a mission that appears impossible. So do your part, draw near to God, and don't be afraid of your assumptions. Draw near to God and don't attempt in your own abilities. Draw near to God and don't abide in your safe abode. Draw near to God and pay attention, and don't pay attention to your anxieties. May we experience God's mighty works. May we experience God shaping us, molding us, doing great things in our lives and in our ministries in this year that lies ahead. Let's continue to draw near to him and keep our eyes focused on him. Amen. And so we sing together. Father, I place into your hands the things that I can't do.
Father, I place into your hands the things that I can't do. Father, I place into your hands the times that I've been through. Father, I place into your hands I should go, for I know I always can trust you. Father, I place into your hands my friends and family. Father, I place into your hands the things that trouble me. Father, I place into your hands the person I would be, for I know I always and in your presence rest, for we know we always can trust you. Father, I want to be with you and do the things you do. Father, I want to speak the words that you are speaking to. Father, I want to love the ones that you will draw to you. For I know that I am one with you. For I know that I am one with you. For I know that I am one with you.
And so let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement to keep our eyes focused on you. As we continue to journey into this new year, Lord, there is much that lies before us. Help us to keep drawing near to you. But we pray, Lord, our eyes would keep focused on you. We wouldn't get distracted. That, Lord, when we feel we cannot do things, help us to trust on your abilities. Lord, when we're overwhelmed by what people say, keep us focused on you and to know that through you we can do great things. And so, Lord, may we be channels of your great love, of your infinite grace, of your unending mercy to the people whom we meet and in the places where we go. May we be channels of your Spirit to bring your love, your grace, your peace, your mercy, and your power into all those situations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for sharing with us. Pray that the week that lies ahead would be filled with God's grace, love, and fellowship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.